Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
Kadri across the line with Janssen. Rolls it in front, Janssen scores! Holy mackerel, what a play by Nazem Kadri!
You know, we did a good job earning this right to come back home and try to make it a seven-game series, so it's going to take a lot of work, but a good start is certainly a better start.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
It is a Maple Leaf playoff game night tonight. Game 6, the Maple Leafs, it feels like they've had their backs up against the wall pretty much the whole series. They got past the Bruins on Saturday night. It wasn't necessarily pretty. At times, it was really difficult to endure if you're a fan, but a win is a win is a win, and that's all Leaf fans are looking for tonight. We're live at Maple Leaf Square down here at the ACC, and there are a lot of Leaf fans down here. Obviously, our focus has been on the north end of the city throughout the afternoon, considering what happened at Yonge and Finch. If you're not aware of this, we'll try to keep you as updated as we can throughout the afternoon. We are going to focus on the Maple Leaf game tonight. We're going to talk about the Raptors weekend and what they have in store coming home for Game 5 on Wednesday night.
I got to tell you what, Bri. It was Sunday fun day for me yesterday with some buddies. I had the wraps were on at some restaurant, and I was like, okay, they're winning this game. They're up, weren't they? Like,
yeah, they were up 14 at one point. They were up 11.
Yeah, it was.
I just disregarded it. I'm like, this is. I'm not even paying attention to that anymore. This morning, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with the Raps tweets?
I was paying attention to it. We had it on in the studio, and they just couldn't close it out.
Well, they had
who missed the big shot?
The same garbage is starting to pop up.
There was a 3-point or a big shot that had to be hit.
Well, they had multiple big shot opportunities. Serge Ibaka. I don't remember which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it was near the end, but I thought it was. Well, I just remember Puffy, like our the guy who does video for us, and he's like, that's what that guy gets paid to do, and I don't know.
DeMar DeRozan tried like a step back fadeaway three, and that's not his game, and that's what I think has concerned Raptors fans a little bit since the game last night, is they kind of reverted back to the way they used to play when they were in tough positions, where it would be DeMar and Kyle.
Right.
ISO ball, trying to take it into the paint and create contact and either get to the line or hit a miracle shot and not move the ball around. They only took, I want to say, 13 threes last night, which, you know, back in the day would have been a ton, but in today's modern era, that just isn't enough.
Right, right.
And I think it was two or three fewer three-point attempts than they have taken all year. This has been a three-point shooting team. That was a big part of this new culture that they were trying to set here with the Raptors, and it got away from them. They kind of choked it away late. Like, Bradley Beal fouled out with like 5 minutes to go, and then John Wall took over, and they got outscored, I want to say, 14-6 after Beal fouled out, and that was a big opportunity for them to really close it out. You come home 3-1, you're feeling great.
You feel like, yeah.
Now it's 2-2, and this has been the history of the Raptors in the playoffs. They never make it easy on themselves. They were up 2-0 in a series for the first time in franchise history.
Wasn't there somebody that I know that was he was claiming the series would be a sweep?
I thought it would be. What I said on Friday was if they won Game 3,
it's a sweep.
They would have destroyed Washington in Game 4 just because of Washington's infighting,
the
poisonous
in the
locker
NBA,
room.
Nobody's ever come back from a 3-0 lead.
No,
ever.
And usually they kind of mail in Game 4. It doesn't happen all the time. But usually, if your back is up against the wall to that extent, you're just kind of like, all right, we're not coming back. It's over. Why are we
U-Haul
wasting people's times? Let's order the U-Hauls, get on Expedia.ca or .com, and let's move on with our lives here.
Yeah.
But Mike Fratello, former NBA head coach, he will join us, NBA analyst with TNT, around 5:30. We'll get his take on the Raptors weekend. The Cavaliers, they survived last night themselves. LeBron had a big night. But they barely got past Indiana. That series is tied at 2. The East is wide open, which, if you're a Raptors fan, I mean, you're thinking, get through this and just keep rolling here, because this really is an opportunity to find yourself in uncharted territory and find a way to get to a conference final and maybe even an NBA final. So Mike Fratello will join us in about 25 minutes. Ray Ferraro coming up here in a moment, our TSN hockey analyst. Game 6 tonight. There's been a lot of talk. Babcock, the players have talked about it, about the officiating on Saturday night. regardless of how you felt about it, it's pretty clear the Leafs, and Babcock in particular, trying to plant seeds to get some calls tonight. But you're dealing with different refs, so I don't know if it factors in. I don't know if it's possible to sit here and believe that the Leafs are going to get makeup calls tonight.
No.
Especially considering they won the game.
Who wants to be that ref that says, oh, you're the donkey that did all the makeup calls for the Maple Leafs? It's so obvious.
Yeah, but refs
it's almost like the referee would almost be counterproductive, or not counterproductive, but would do the opposite of that. It's like, I'm not going to be the guy that gets bullied by the coach of the Maple Leafs and the players in the organization and give them a free pass tonight. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
All right, Ray, how do you feel about that? The idea of Babcock and the Leafs campaigning for more calls tonight, better calls, whichever way you want to define it.
Before I get to that, that is spectacular.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could maybe take Hayes aside and teach him a thing or two, but that's
wasn't
how
that
you bring
good?
A guest in.
Yeah, there was some energy there. Not like his stuff. It's just... He's an energy vampire.
Low energy,
yeah.
Haze.
Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Or maybe Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd.
But it's like he was ordering Subway sandwich there. I don't know, ham and like some peppers.
Actually, take this personally. I'm rarely excited to talk to you, so take that into consideration.
That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the refereeing in the playoffs has been really difficult to figure out. I did the game Saturday in Washington, and both benches were about ready to lose their mind at some of the calls that were made. And it seems like it's getting harder and harder to get a feel for what is going to be called. And one of the reasons is I think we're now used to the way they call it in the regular season. You know, it's been pretty new, the new slashing standard, the new, you know, the hooking and holding stuff. And then they go change it again for the playoffs. So I don't think anybody's got a clue really anymore or a gut feel. When you see a play, you're like, yeah, that was a penalty in the regular season, but was that from two seasons ago or now? You know, like they never allowed any stuff in scrums in the regular season. Now it's all over the place. And so I think, in my opinion, that's one of the reasons people are so grumpy about the way the games are officiated. Oh, let them play. Well, let them play means... When Marner's lying on the ice, he's going to get popped in the back of the coconut by Marchand on the way by. Like, in the regular season, they call that a penalty. But they haven't called that sort of stuff, for the most part, in the playoffs. So I don't even really know, and I don't want to rag on the refs, but I don't even really know what the standard is. And has that come from the league, or is that the way that the refs think they're supposed to interpret it? I don't even know anymore.
That's the one thing I said earlier in the last hour, Ray, is... If the players can read the ref, regardless of how they're going to call it, but they've got to have a feel for it, and it's got to be consistent with both sides. And I'm not going to go back in the last game or the game that you – I watched the game that you called as well. I mean, yeah, the one thing that I've struggled with is been the consistency of the calls from period to period, shift to shift. So the players are kind of sitting there going, okay – you know, we got away with something in the first. It's not really the same thing in the second. And it's almost like refs are instructed in scrums to take one guy. That's it. I'm taking one guy. And maybe it's the guy that started it or the guy who ended it with the last shot. But it's you can tell that there's some confusion from a player standpoint. And you can, if the players are confused, you can almost guess that the fans and the organizations are confused on the outside because you're watching and there's no consistency.
Well, okay, so here's this scenario. So in the game against in Columbus, so in the first period, there was a play around the front of the net. I forget the Columbus guy was just really standing there, and Eller got him in a headlock and dragged him away from the front of the net. And so there was a scrum, and he ended up getting the only penalty. Well, that's fine if that's the way it is for the whole day. But let's look at it in reverse. So say they don't call a penalty there. And then there's another scrum and they don't call a penalty. And then about the third one, they call a penalty. And they just call one guy out of there. Just think of how sour you are. You're like, wait a minute. You haven't been calling that for a half an hour, and now it's a penalty? That's where the consistency thing is. You know, we talk about what it is or what it could mean. That's where I don't think the guys have a... I don't think they got a real sense, so they better be careful. I mean, the fact is... Just you got to be careful. You can't be popping off in a scrum and giving somebody a glove in the face in case that's the one time they call it. You can't, it's too important now, right? You can't say, oh, they didn't call that before. Too bad. You're shorthanded. You're in the box. And now you've got to pray like heck that they don't burn you while you're sitting there.
Well, what did you make of Babcock's analysis on Saturday night of the players that don't kill penalties, where he just said they're frozen, they're cold, and he kind of used that as an explanation for why the Bruins were so hot in the third period and why the Leafs just couldn't find the game again. They couldn't get the puck. They couldn't push back. I mean,
did you buy that or what? No. The reason I don't is that means then only 8 Bruins should have been skating well, because the other 10 of them were sitting there watching the game.
Yeah.
Because they're not on the power play either. I mean, it's a fact. I used to hate it. I used to get so mad at our guys when they'd take a penalty when I was the next guy up. You know, when our line was up, I'd be like, because I never killed penalties. I'm like, oh, seriously? Now I got to sit here and watch the same guys go kill penalties again. And it stinks because you do get cold. But for the other side, I never really thought of it till you put it this way. That means the two groups of forwards and the two defensemen or three defensemen that the Bruins use are the only guys on the ice too. The rest of them are sitting there like a frozen rope on the bench. They're not getting anything done either.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah. And,
I mean, as for Boston, their top line, they were outstanding again on Saturday, and they've been very consistent throughout the series. I mean, it's a reality. The Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak line has really lit up the Leafs. And as you go into Game 6 tonight, how would you be approaching it if you're Toronto? Would you be going into it, just based on what you've seen out of this line through 5 games, thinking, okay, this is the night where we fully commit to shutting them down completely? Or do you have to be more realistic and say, guys, they're probably going to get theirs, so it's on our big boys to match it and exceed it? In other words, if Boston's top line goes off for 2 tonight, Matthews has to go off for 3 tonight.
I think the biggest problem with having in your head, okay, we've got to shut them down, is I think in today's world, it's almost impossible to really shut anybody down like you used to be able to, because, you know, you could play a checking line against them. You know, you wouldn't have to play Kadri against them. You'd have a checking center, and that guy would follow Bergeron around, and every time he turned around, somebody would tackle him or somebody would grab his stick, and it became like a wrestling match out there. Like, just think of the nonsense that Crosby used to put up with Brandon Dubinsky. Well, now those are penalties every time. The only way you shut a line down is that if you score on them or you play in their end, and that's why you have to have guys like Kadri and Marleau to play against them. They've got to play in the other end. Because if they do get into yours, it's, you know, you're kind of holding on by your fingernails. They're just so bloody good. Every game, it seems like they get 5 or 6, like, quality chances. Doesn't seem to matter who you put out against them. They seem to find a way to that.
I thought Nazem Kadri had a very effective game, and it was interesting because Babcock decided to play Plekanec with his usual line mates. He found some minutes for Kadri, but still, I mean...
Did you not like that decision, though? Because I thought Kadri was playing great with Plekanec, so just leave him alone and get Kadri something out, somewhere else.
I think, though, tonight you got to get Kadri more ice. Like, he's got to play more than Plekanec, in my opinion.
Dude, it's do or die. If you go out there and take 2 shifts and you're doing nothing, Peter Laviolette did it all the time. You're not going back out there. There's no time. There is no tomorrow, as Rocky's coach would say. Right, Ray?
You and Mick are kindred spirits.
No, that was Apollo Creed. Remember, he was running on the beach and he was being a lazy little...
But Mick...
What's
Mick
the matter
is
with
not
you?
Him.
There is no tomorrow.
You got to drag him. Oh, yeah, when they were racing because he was kicking his ass.
Yeah, and he looked back and he was just like, there is no tomorrow, Rock.
He beat him running backwards. Now I remember that.
Yeah.
He turned backwards and he still beat him.
Me and Hayes should go on the beach and put those little shorts on and run. And
well, Apollo had a half shirt on. You remember it was yellow? And
oh, yeah.
Half shirt on, showing the abs.
Apollo, for as juiced up as Rocky was in that thing, was shredded.
Yes.
He was like, wow, man, Apollo Creed was the guy. He's not playing tonight, though.
No, he's not. Last time I checked, Apollo Creed is not playing tonight.
Yeah, so... I like Kadri nose-to-nose against the big boys because I think he's got that screw you to him. Like, I think you're going to, in a game like tonight, you get everything out of him. And everything out of him, or 90% out of him, is more than what Thomas Plekanec can bring you. Because I think the game's at both ends against Bergeron. You've got to be able to make him at least think about playing at the other end. Otherwise, they just get the puck. They never give it back. And so as much as we're talking about Bergeron and Marchand, man, the guy that's just been amazing in the series is Pastrnak. Like that,
yeah,
he's
a hell of a talent.
Just an amazing player. I think 25 teams are looking at their scouts from that draft and saying, now, how did this guy slither all the way here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so, like, those can be very difficult to process and kind of a cruel experience if you're a fan of a team that took some guy who never played one game in the league, and you look back and you're like, oh
yeah,
that guy went the next pick or five picks later or whatever. But there's so many examples of them.
I mean, it's not just one.
Well, you drive yourself crazy.
You can drive yourself crazy. And listen, credit the Bruins. I'm not here to pump their tires, but they got McAvoy, I think, in the teens, late teens. They took Pastrnak in the 20s. I went back and looked at Marchand's draft. That was the year they took Phil Kessel in the first round, Lucic in the second, and Marchand in the third. How's that for a one-year draft out of Boston?
Pretty that's awesome. A 10-year
Stanley
extension.
That's right. That's a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
now
tonight, so, like, you know, you bring that back. So they've drafted and they've added people, and they've really well balanced their team. I think most of us felt the series would be 3-2 for somebody at this point. I think almost all of us picked Boston, but I'm assuming we all figured it was going to be long, and however the road gets you to game six, somebody's ahead 3-2. And so now, is it a bit player? Is it Kapanen tonight? Like, he's kind of not been as noticeable as he was in last year's series, but he could score tonight. Like, why not? It might be and might have to be one of those guys. If the big guys cancel out again, like if Matthews doesn't get anything done again and you find a way to keep Bergeron's line just stable, then maybe it is one of those guys that's the difference. Because you guys said it the other day, like, Freddie Anderson has to be at the top of his game, and he was amazing in the third period. Like, there was a moat across center ice, and they couldn't get across it. And Anderson was outstanding. You're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, he might have to. I mean, you don't want to be in that position where you're relying on your goaltender to make 40 stops. But at this particular juncture in this series,
they don't ask how. They just ask
exactly.
If you're in the game or not.
I mean, we brought this up earlier. Noodles brought this up about Pastrnak's game on Saturday and all the shot attempts and all the shots on net. If a Leaf does that tonight but they lose, it's completely irrelevant. It really doesn't matter. You can have 50 shot attempts. If the team loses, no one's going to care about one individual player.
No, because then if they lose tonight, tomorrow we'll be picking them apart.
Right.
Like, that's just the way it is. Who, this guy didn't play well, that guy. Hey, what about this guy had 12 shot attempts? Yeah, good for him.
Exactly.
Then we're doing a postmortem on them. They're an excellent team. They're playing, in my opinion, a little bit better team, but it doesn't matter anymore. It's not even you got to win three straight. You got to win one game tonight. You've already got one. No matter what it looked like, you've got one. And now you leave it out there and you hope you get it again tonight. It's going to be awesome to watch. I suspect the energy in there is going to be amazing. Like, that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Ray, we're going to let you go, but just remember one thing. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Maybe they should have you give the speech before the game.
I could do a pump up.
At first he yells, though. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Come on, Rock. What's the matter with you?
So you're going to have Noodle standing behind the stick tape drawer, whispering the lines to you.
Exactly.
I got to get a yellow tank top with black tight shorts.
Oh,
and I'll walk in the Leaf
and put a mustache on, too.
Yes.
Headband, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mulls, if you're listening back there, get that audio for us coming into the next break. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Goodbye, Ray.
See you tomorrow, boys.
Thank you, Ray. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Did you just say that?
I just did. Let's go to break.
Well, quick update here. Obviously, we're tracking the news coming out of the north end of the city. The Toronto police announced not too long ago, 9 fatalities, 16 injured. It sounds as if they've all been rushed to Sunnybrook. So Sunnybrook Hospital will come out with more details throughout the afternoon and throughout the evening. But we've been talking about our experience being down here because this is the center of the city. This is the focal point of the city tonight. Everyone in Toronto is going to be buzzing about the Maple Leaf game tonight. But let's be honest, based on what happened earlier this afternoon, the game has become secondary. And there was a part of me that was wondering when this first happened, without knowing all the details, would they think about postponing the game?
Yeah.
Would they think about potentially playing it tomorrow and having a back-to-back if you have to at Game 7 on Wednesday night if the Leafs win? The game will continue tonight. The Maple Leafs and MLSE have just issued the following statement. Quote, the Toronto Maple Leafs and MLSE are keeping all of those impacted by today's tragic incident in Toronto in our thoughts and prayers. Our organization continuously works in close partnership with Toronto Police and other security agencies to ensure the safety of all fans attending games at the ACC, including playoff tailgate events at Maple Leaf Square. In addition to the safety measures already in place, the Toronto Police Service will be implementing a number of additional measures, including road closures surrounding the ACC tonight to create the safest environment for our fans watching in Maple Leaf Square, as well as providing enhanced security inside Air Canada Center. For more info, you can go to the Toronto Police Service's website. So if you're coming down to the game will be played tonight. If you've got tickets and you're getting inside, you can bank on heavier security than usual. I think people understand that. They understand the reasoning behind that and the need for it. Maple Leaf Square, there's a lot of cops down here. There's a lot of security down here. We still don't know exactly what's going on, what the motive was, what the details were that came out of the actual tragedy. But we've been on the air for about an hour and a half, so it's more difficult for us to really focus on that. CTV News is up there, CP24. I'm sure people are following this online as well.
Right.
So we'll try to keep you updated on as much as we can, and more so, again, from a Maple Leaf perspective, what's going on down here on Maple Leaf Square, what we can expect out of the game tonight. But if you're coming down, the game continues. The game is on. There is an energy down here. There's a lot of Leaf fans down here. So it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful night in terms of weather. It obviously turned pretty dark earlier this afternoon, but this is the beauty of sports. It gives us an opportunity to focus on something different tonight, even if our minds will be racing. And let's be honest, we're doing radio right now. My mind's been racing all afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having a difficult time. I think
it's quite
I can speak
something.
For everyone.
There's awful things that happen around the world, and when it happens, this guy lives 6 blocks from there.
Man. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff where when it happens, you know, you rush home, you're like, I got to throw on CNN or whatever it is in the news, and I got to find out what happened in London, in Paris, in New York, or whatever. And this kind of tragedy has happened in Toronto. And I think it's difficult for everybody, but the game is going to continue tonight. The show will continue for us. Mike Fratello will join us, NBA analyst. He'll help us look back on the weekend. And again, we're live at Maple Leaf Square. We'll keep teeing up game 6 tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. The Leafs have been in trouble the whole series, man. Like, they've been up against it.
Yeah.
Since game one, they've been chasing the series. And tonight, you finally get a chance to get back on even footing.
When I was playing hockey in Carolina and Rocky was on the TV, I wanted the game to start within minutes. I would be that pumped up.
What would put you into, like, a deep sleep? What movie would just pull it right out of you? Like, you got Rocky that gets you excited, Any Given Sunday, Rudy.
What one would be the,
like Notting Hill or something?
Yeah, any kind of stupid romance
movie.
Yeah,
like a rom-com or something like that. No, thank you. That's what they need the Bruins to be watching tonight.
Star Wars. Something like that, where it's just...
You hate on Star Wars. I'm shocked by that. You're such a movie guy. I love the initial ones.
Once they got these talking weirdo creatures and stuff, I was done with it.
You're out of it, eh?
I was a massive Shannon Tweed fan back in the day. Do you remember her?
Is that not Gene Simmons?
Yes.
Wife?
Yeah, but how is that germane to Star Wars?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just letting you know I was a fan of hers.
So that just popped into your mind. We're talking Star Wars.
She remind you of
Did
Princess
Rafalski?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it sounded like. Like, yeah, okay, me too, but I don't understand that.
Exactly.
Well, how did Shannon Tweed
I just thought
pop
about
into
her.
Your mind?
I thought about the movies I used to watch. Shannon Tweed was a terrific actor.
She
was
you like a 99% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
I don't even know anything that Shannon Tweed was in.
Like I always thought she was in kind of like...
softcore porn.
Yeah, that was my impression, wasn't it?
Those were my go-to. My go-to.
You were right into that, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I don't... I'm just looking her up as far as...
If you go through the history...
IMDb.
Like search history of my Blockbuster account...
Shannon Tweed all over the place.
Yeah, she was...
I honestly don't think I've ever seen her in a movie.
Well, there's Cannibal Women. She was in Elektra in 1996, Cannibal Women in 1989, and Detroit Rock City in 99.
That's not a bad movie. I'll give you that.
Detroit Rock City was pretty good.
Probably because it's about Kiss, right?
Exactly.
The kids are trying to get to a Kiss show, so obviously she probably had a cameo in it, like backstage or something.
She was... a doctor on Frasier a couple times, Dr. Honey Snow.
Okay.
But that's it. There's not like a big thing.
No, there isn't. Anyway, thanks for bringing
that
exactly.
up. Yeah, thank exactly. Thanks you, for derailing us.
Game 6 tonight, Leafs-Bruins. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. The Raptors had a bit of a tough weekend. They go down to Washington feeling good, up 2-0 in a series for the first time in their history. They come back 2-2, but they still have home court. They've been in this position many times. They should be comfortable. And to chat about the weekend and what lies ahead for Game 5, we're joined now by longtime NBA head coach, NBA analyst. Here's Mike Fratello. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, guys. We're going to talk hockey or we're going to talk basketball. What are we doing tonight?
Well, we can talk about whatever you want, but we were hoping to get your take on the Raps. I mean,
What was going on?
Yeah, they were feeling it going down to Washington. I mean, what did you make of those two games in D.C. and how the Raptors actually played over the course of the weekend?
Well, I was more concerned about the guy who played with the torn ACL. I mean, you talk about a little bit of toughness there on the hockey, on the ice, okay? People don't know what toughness is. Hockey guys got a great mentality. They just show up and play. I love it. But the Raptors, the Raptors wound up meeting the Washington team that has been the entire season. You just don't know which Washington team is going to show up to play. And there's nights where you can't figure this team out. They just can't get it together. They seem like they don't enjoy playing with each other. When some controversy takes place or they get into a physical encounter with another team, they rally together and all of a sudden it's a different Washington team. This team was supposed to be in the top four teams easily in the Eastern Conference when the season started. But when you lose John Wall for more than half the season and you don't really make a major pickup down the backstretch to help them out, everybody picked up Bojan Bogdanović, who is now with Indiana, is playing great with Indiana. The Washington didn't do that. They went back with the same team. They lose their main guy in John Wall. And Beal had to carry so much of the load. I'm not sure that Bradley Beal wasn't a little fatigued coming down the backstretch of the season. And they wind up in eighth place, which I don't know if anybody would have expected that. But a different team rallied last night, backs to the wall, Beal fouls out, and they wind up hanging on to win that game, which was huge for Washington.
And DeMar DeRozan fell on the sword for his teammates after the game last night, and he did so again today. I like that. I like the maturity of DeMar DeRozan. He knows he's the man on this team, and he put up points last night, but he forced a lot. He missed a couple of shots, factored into some turnovers, and the Raptors have had some serious turnover issues throughout the series, and they were on display again last night. As a coach, I mean, how would you feel about that, hearing from your best player him say, I'll take this on me, and kind of shielding the rest of his team?
Well, that's leadership, and that's what DeRozan has done for them. It's no different. DeMar for Toronto, James for the Cavaliers. Those guys know that they have to step up and they have to be good every night. A little bit easier for DeMar because of the depth of the team and the fact that they remained relatively healthy the entire season. Everybody has injuries in the NBA during the year, but LeBron James this year went through an incredible season of injuries, changing of teammates, six go out, four new ones come in, then injuries again after that. And here's LeBron just cruising along. He's never played 82 games in his entire career during the regular season. And he plays 82 games for the first time in 15 years that he's been in the NBA. He understands that he has to carry this team if they're going to go anywhere. And that's the same thing with DeMar. He's been spectacular. They asked him to change his game a little bit this year. They were going to try and play a little more up-tempo. They asked him to expand his range on his shot, add a little three-point shooting to what was the best medium-range game in the NBA. He did that. And this team won a record number of wins, or 59 wins on the regular season, and has really developed a young group with that second unit. But when you got a team like Washington, who's very dangerous, it was backcourt against backcourt last night. Okay, Wall, Beal against DeRozan and Lowry. Four guys, all-stars in their own right. When you look at the stats, I had 8 or 9 statistical categories listed last night. Each of them a little bit different in each category, presenting something for their team. So that's why DeRozan is a pro, just the way he handled that.
With Mike Fratello, longtime NBA head coach, now NBA analyst, we're looking ahead to Game 5, Raptors-Wizards, Wednesday night down at the ACC. Dwayne Casey was talking about it today, how the Raptors kind of lost their identity over the weekend, and specifically yesterday, because they really had what they called a culture reset earlier in the year, and it really developed perfectly. I mean, they were top five in the league in offensive and defensive statistics. They became a three-point shooting team. They didn't shoot a lot of three-point attempts last night. I believe the lowest amount they've attempted all year. Turned over the ball a lot. DeMar and Kyle kind of reverted to that ISO ball style and mentality. We haven't seen that really at all this year, and it showed up a bit last night. If you're Dwayne Casey, how do you find a way to get this team back to playing the way they did all year that led to 59 wins and a 2-0 lead in this series for Game 5?
Well, you know, they had a very long film session before the game last night, the day before, and they watched what had taken place in Game 3. And sometimes you have to remind your team, and, you know, there's different ways you look at the video. Some days you have a negative video. I mean, it's just what it's all about. You've played horrendous. Everybody's upset with each other. Nobody wants to look at each other. And they've got to see the ugliness of what took place. Other times, it's better to show the positive things that's happened on the days that you've won and go back to that and say, look, this is how we played against this team when we beat them the first two games. And look what we did here. Look at the ball movement, 4 passes, 5 passes. Look what we did defensively. Help the helper, make a rotation, block a shot, protect the front of the rim, back in transition defense to shut John Wall off from getting to the basket. So it depends on which way he wanted to approach that in the long film session. I would think now, being tied up the way the series is, he'll go back and reinforce what we can do well against this team. And this is what we have to stop. And it's not like this is new now. You play the opponent 4 times in the playoffs. You pretty much know what each other's going to do. But you have to play to your strengths. One of the keys going in last night, as you mentioned, turnovers have been really a sore spot with Toronto. Because when you turn the ball over against Washington, that's how Washington wants to play. John Wall blowing the ball down the floor, splitting 2 or 3 defenders, and either getting to the rim and finishing like he had some of those thunderous dunks last night with the left hand, or finding open teammates spotting up behind the three-point line, in particular Bradley Beal. So they must cut down their turnovers. They can't actually handle the basketball. And I think first quarter has proven that when they come out strong in the first quarter, that's a good thing for Toronto. Washington has struggled in the first quarter. Game 3, when they got their first win, finally Washington won a first quarter, 30-29. Barely, but they won it. But at least they weren't down 8 or 10 at the end of the quarter like they had been.
Thank you for doing this, Mike. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There's Mike Fratello, a longtime NBA head coach, current NBA analyst with TNT. The Raptors tied at 2 coming home for Game 5 on Wednesday night. We know the ACC will be occupied tonight as well. The Maple Leafs in an elimination game tonight. They're down 3-2. They survived on Saturday night. Doesn't matter how it played out. They got the win. And that's exactly what has to take place again tonight. Bob McKenzie will join us around the table. Rick Vive will join us as well at some point in the 6 p.m. hour. And we keep teeing up the game tonight. There are a lot of Leaf fans downtown. Yeah, it's a beautiful evening. There's a lot of Leaf jerseys out here. There's a lot of support in Maple Leaf Square. I'm sure the majority of our listeners are well aware of what happened earlier this afternoon up in North Toronto, North York, Yonge and Finch. If you're not aware of the latest, 9 dead, 16 injured after someone got behind a rental van and drove southbound from Yonge and Finch down to about Yonge and Sheppard along the sidewalk. And it was a tragedy in our city today. My initial reaction was, like I'm sure everyone else in Toronto, shock. I can't believe. Yeah. It still hasn't really registered with me because we've been at work and we've been on the air. So I haven't been able to listen to the news or watch the news or find out exactly what's going on in North Toronto.
We haven't been able to absorb it, really, because you're just having information trickle in. There's a range of emotions that goes through, from scaredness to rage, you know, how upset you can be. I mean, your empathy for everyone involved. I mean, it's just so many things. We've tried our best here just to bring some normalcy to the people that are listening, because I think, it's a senseless tragedy, and you want to focus on it, certainly, and you care about it, but you also want to try and have something that you can escape to, and that's what we are, right?
Well, and that's what we're trying to supply, and also what the Leaf game is going to supply tonight. If you're coming down here, the game is continuing. It will go on tonight. There will be more security than usual, heavier security. If you're in Maple Leaf Square, if you're already down here, you're on your way down. They're blocking off a lot more streets than they usually would around the ACC. Yeah. It does feel safe. We've been down here. It feels safe. There's a lot of police. There's a lot of security. Again, by no means, based on what happened today, is there a reason to panic that anything else is going to happen or anything else is happening in the city. If the police service was concerned about that, I'm sure they would have let people know by now. So we're keeping our eye on the news and tracking, again, more details of what happened earlier this afternoon at Yonge and Finch. And we're also keeping one eye on the ACC tonight. We're teeing up the game. We're live in the food truck down in Maple Leaf Square ahead of the game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. We are live from Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 6 tonight down at the ACC. Puck drop in just over an hour. Must-win game for the Maple Leafs, and there are a lot of people down here. The weather's beautiful. Lots of short sky down here. I'm a bit surprised by that.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I shouldn't be, because it was really nice weather yesterday, and it was really nice today. And there's a lot of people in shorts and T-shirts, and they realize it's going to be like 3 or 4 degrees tonight.
Yeah, it'll be cold.
But I guess they're like, forget
out.
I'm just going to brave the elements tonight.
Exactly. Have a few pops inside so you could keep yourself warm and then walk home in the cold.
Well, I don't even know how many of these guys are even going inside. I mean, if you're sitting outside at Maple Leaf Square.
Yeah, you're freezing your rear off later.
Yeah, it's not going to be that warm, but if you're shorts guy, then you're shorts guy. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I don't really care.
No.
It's your life.
But there's people
live
with
it whichever
toques.
Way you want.
There's people with toques on there that are reasonable too. So,
yeah, I guess it does go both ways. Again, we're live at the ACC, and Maple Leaf Square is open. The game is on tonight. I think everyone in the city is focused on what happened in North York earlier today.
Right.
Yonge and Finch, Yonge and Sheppard. The latest from the Toronto Police: 9 fatalities, 16 injured. Sunnybrook is kind of that's the scene that people are focused on right now, because of the 16 injured, you're never certain if they're going to survive or exactly what kind of injuries they're dealing with. And
well, we'll get updates as more information trickles out, but it, unfortunately, a lot of times you just feel like you're helpless, just waiting on, you know, senseless things like what is the motivation? All of that type of stuff. It's frustrating, and you still have to try and move on with your life, even with a heavy heart. And that's the truth.
Yeah,
there is a black cloud over the city right now.
Yeah, there is. And I mean, the game continuing and going on tonight, I think that's the right decision. I think you play the game tonight. I am quite curious to find out what the mood is going to be like in the rink tonight. Because of all the different emotions. I mean, the Leafs are playing. It's a massive game. It's game 6.
It's their season.
It's their season. It's a must win. So you have that kind of nervous energy to begin with in the building. you're excited because you are in the building for such a big game because, you know, they won on Saturday night, and we weren't sure if we were going to see them again at home at any point this year. And then you have the tragedy that took place, too. I would guess, and I'm going to be in the building tonight, I'm thinking, oh, Canada is going to be very, very emotional tonight. I would think the Leafs will have a moment of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how it affects the players. I mean, I don't know if you've ever played in a situation like this before. You were in the league post 9/11, and I'm not, you know, equating the two, but what I'm saying is the players are going to be aware that the city was struck with a tragedy today.
Right.
And, you know, they've got a job to do. They got to play. They're playing to move on. If you're Boston, you're playing to survive if you're the Maple Leafs, but
right,
they're humans too. They're aware of what happened.
Well, that's what I say. There's so many different layers to this because you're right. Everyone guaranteed, every player that's playing tonight has reached out to a loved one to let them know that, hey, I'm all right, or this is the scenario. And when the puck drops, that's the one thing. You've got to be a pro, regardless of what goes on outside. You have to find a way to focus and do your job, in essence. And it's tough to do because real life gets in the way. And that's the truth. This is real life. We're fortunate to talk about sports and to play sports and have our families around us and that type of stuff. And senseless tragedies happen. And you know, it just you look for answers.
Yeah, you do. And we'll wait for the police and the city of Toronto to give us those answers and update us on those answers. And we know we're not going to find out everything tonight. This is going to go on for a couple of days. And the city will be in mourning. And it's... I've never experienced this before in Toronto. You know, I've never been through anything like this before in Toronto. And we've been on the air. This is generally a fun show, an entertainment show. We try to make people laugh, and we try to make ourselves laugh. And we haven't really done that a lot today. And we'll continue here. One more hour down at the ACC, teeing up the game tonight. Bob McKenzie will join us. The O-Dog will be back. He's over doing SportsCenter hits. Rick Vive will join us around the table.
Yeah.
And we're teeing up the biggest game of the year. The Leafs need a win tonight. We're live at the ACC at Maple Leaf Square. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.